From Daytona Beach, Florida, this is the Daytona Motor Mouths Podcast.
The Daytona 500 belongs to Franklin, Tennessee's Darrell Waldron.
With two of the preeminent motorsports writers in America, from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly.
Hey, get out of my way.
And Ken Willis.
Come on, Godwin, Rubbin's racing.
This is the podcast for NASCAR fans.
Now the checkered flag about to come out.
From the home of NASCAR, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Here he comes. He's going
to
do
the bottom. He's down low.
The Daytona Motor Mouths on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona or visit online at DaytonaMotorMouths.com.
And Kevin Harvick is the Daytona 500 winner.
Now, here they are from the Daytona Beach News Journal, Godwin Kelly and Ken Willis.
He's going to make it. Dale Jarrett's going to win the Daytona 500.
It's not his fault he won, for God's sake. Somebody had to win that race. I mean, God, he hadn't won in a millennium. And anyway, hey, it's Ken Willis and
Godwin P. Kelly, the P. Silent.
We're starting with the Daytona Motor Mouths, and we're just having a little discussion about the cute one, Casey Kane, and how he was basically kind of sort of the last man standing at the Brickyard. We're going to talk about that Brickyard mess and debate rather the we're going to debate the entertainment factor of it. And we're going to talk a little, got some breaking news on Junior Earnhardt, and we'll talk a little Amy Earnhardt. We'll talk a little Talladega Earnhardt, and might even get into a little bit of a Kyle Busch before we're finished with this podcast. And I'm not going to forget the birthdays. You can't let me forget the birthdays this week.
You know what? You always forget the birthdays.
Yeah, I want to do it. And we'll get started with all that in just a second. What do you know? It's how we start the first third or so of every Daytona Motor Mouse. Ken Willis, Godwin Kelly. Godwin, what do you know?
What do I know?
What do you know?
Brickyard 400.
Yep. Yes, it had a moment of excitement when they were three wide going into that, and then all hell breaks loose again. And I just wanted to watch the end of the race, and I wanted to go on with my life. I'd already done too much TV time Sunday because I was glued to the set for the British Open. And speaking of wrecks, my God, that was a wreck, and a guy. It was like a spin and win. Jordan Spieth was like Danny Sullivan, the old spin and win. He spun out and gathered himself and went on and won. And so I didn't want to spend a whole lot more time in front of the tube, you know? And so that thing just dragged on. I was literally angry by the end because it was taking so long to clean up. You?
Well, sir.
Yes.
I missed the Open, as they say now.
I'm still calling it the British Open, so.
It's the Open.
It's the British Open, but go ahead.
I was monitoring it on my leaderboard on my phone.
Oh, cool.
Because I was actually like doing stuff around the house.
Check
like,
you out, being all active.
Like real husband stuff, yeah. You know.
Okay.
Checking. If it went into a playoff or something, I was going to turn the TV on. But otherwise, I had a feeling that Jordan Spieth was going to win that thing.
So. Well, everybody had a feeling he was going to win it. But then everybody had a feeling he blew it.
Right.
But then he won it.
Right.
So that was the amazing thing.
And that's
he started the day ahead by three, finished the day ahead by three. If you just look at that, you go ho-hum. But it was a train wreck followed by a ride into glory. It was amazing.
So now he's won three of the three majors.
Three of the four.
Oh, there's a fourth.
He can complete the career Grand Slam next month at Quail Hollow at the PGA Championship, which will be in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Which is racing country.
That's right.
And
speaking of racing,
and now we come full circle.
Yeah, and speaking of racing, the Brickyard 400, the cute one, Casey Kane. After the dust and smoke had cleared,
right,
he's standing there holding the trophy, the checkered flag, and you know it's just it is what I labeled it circumstantial.
Circumstantial. But isn't that what they do to you rather, when you're born? They give you a circumstantial?
I would have taken that yesterday over having to sit through that last hour. Yes, I would have taken that all over again without a shot of whiskey this time. But he won, but you know, you'll take a win however you can get it. He ain't going to complain after a few years of not winning. But I mean, did you find it? Other than that one attempt at a finish, and they were three wide, and Jimmy Johnson smoking going into turn three, that was That was poster stuff right there. That was commercial stuff. Three wide at Indy, and you got a seven-time champion diving it in there, and his car's smoking right before it blows, and it's just great. But it was about 5 seconds of greatness. The rest of the day was largely what the Brickyard normally is, and then the end was just maddening because it kept taking so long for them to clean the track and get ready to go again.
Well, if you look at it as a whole,
I assume you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at it as, when you look at it as...
Well, that changes everything.
When you look at it as the whole, it as the whole thing...
Yep.
It was actually, I thought it was an interesting race.
Mm-hmm.
It had a sort of Daytona Talladega element with all those mass crashes and everything.
Oh, that's just lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, as I know, we were up there several times.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You came up with this thesis that it's basically a boring race. Everybody kind of knows that. But there's always something happens at the end of the race that makes it interesting and memorable.
Yeah.
I mean, you told me that.
Well, that's why they...
those are your words.
Who told you that? Who told you that? So it must be true. The debris caution can go a long ways toward increasing the excitement quotient toward the end of a race. They didn't have there was no mystery debris caution yesterday. That it was a debris front move through, it was ugly.
What I thought was interesting was I think it was about 50 laps to go on a restart, and there's a big storm moving in right now.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have power. We'll maintain power.
Bob Pockers will keep us posted on the storm front moving into Daytona Beach right now.
So you had your Kyle Busch and your Martin Truex Jr., and they obviously had the premier cars of the race.
Uh-huh.
And so it's 50 laps to go. They're starting side by side. And in their minds, this is the race.
And it turns out it kind of was.
It kind of was, yeah. So it was a real macho kind of restart. Neither one of them would give ground, and then both of them ended up in the wall. So, and poor old Martin, gosh, did you see pictures of that thing that lighting up?
Oh, God, Lord.
That thing was barbecue city from front to back.
He said he steered it. He had hit the wall once. Now he's on fire. And so to finally stop it, he kind of steered it into the wall again, kind of going at coasting speed, just so he could stop it and get out because the flames were coming up. I mean, my God, that would happen to me. You know how many times that would happen to me in a race car? Once. Yeah.
Well, in NASCAR this week, our syndicated NASCAR page.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, we have a picture that's pretty dramatic of that crash, and you need to see that if you have that page in your area. Of course, we run it on Tuesdays in the News Journal here in Daytona Beach, but it goes out across the land, NASCAR this week.
And parts of Canada.
Yeah. So anyway, I give the race one thumbs up because I thought the last 50 laps after the 2 leaders, after the two primary cars had, knocked each other out, I thought from that point on, it was interesting.
Yes, if not for the hour of sitting around waiting. And here's what pissed me off at the end. That one, last one has taken forever. And I do what, the modern man does. I turn to Twitter to see why? Why is this going on so long? Bring the tow trucks out. Get these two or three cars off the track. Sweep it up. And let's go. Well, it's going on and on forever. And I saw somebody tweeted, probably Bob, saying that they almost have the Trevor Bayne and somebody else's car had hooked together. And in order to tow them off the track, they had to disconnect them. They had somehow wedged themselves together. And I'm thinking, all right, wouldn't that be nice?
The ultimate wedgie.
Wouldn't that be nice if on TV they would have told us what was going on, that's what happened, and told us more than once, shown us that? Here's why it's taken so long to get going. Meanwhile, you're hungry, you're tired, you want to get this over with and go on with your life. And so anyway, it put me in a bad mood. And I'm over it now, but mostly.
So, overall, you didn't like the race.
I like that one little 15-second blast. And I like the Brickyard in the fact that it brings out, it does tell you who the better cars are. Now, you don't, the guy who wins it isn't always the best, but whoever brings, whoever can haul the mail in Indianapolis, those are the best teams that particular season at that particular time in NASCAR, because you got to have everything there.
Right.
You got to have handling, you got to have horsepower, and brakes and everything. I mean, you got to be able to dive it into that corner, all that. It brings out everything. And to me, and the fact that everybody points to it because it's such a, you know, it's still a big race on the calendar. Couldn't tell it by the grandstands, but it's a big race on NASCAR's calendar. And it's a high-paying race, or it used to be when we knew what they were getting paid. We assume they still do pay a little more for that one. I don't know. Nobody knows. It's in the secret sauce. But anyway, I like that, but I was just angered by how long it took to clean up and the fact that they threw that caution. They waited till Casey Kane had crossed the commitment line to make it an official race. They waited, you know, a good stretch of time after the wreck, and it was obvious they were going to need a caution because cars were spinning everywhere. They waited until he crossed the commitment line to throw the yellow flag, and that ended the race right there.
Yeah.
And I do not like a race at all costs. I know it was getting dark. They couldn't see, blah, blah, blah. But I don't like a race ending under yellow at for any reason.
Nobody does.
Run them in the dark. You know, let's see. Hey, lay them out. Let's see who's got it. Let's go in the dark.
Well, they...
My Aunt Dot would not drive in the dark.
I remember one time at Talladega. Remember, yep. Dave Marcus?
You don't want to talk about my Aunt Dot?
No. Hmm? Dave Marcus.
She would not drive at night.
They look alike, don't they?
They were... She owned a couple plaid shirts. No Goodyear hats. I never saw Aunt Dot in a Goodyear hat. But
yeah. One time at Talladega, they were running late, and yep. He was actually running in the dark to make his qualifying lap, to complete qualifying. He was the last guy out.
He knows where the track is.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
It was a funny thing.
I said you could drive it with your eyes closed. Well, yeah. Let's see.
That's pretty
of
much
Of course,
what
I
want
to bring back figure eight races, so yeah. that's where I am.
But one thing I want Indianapolis Motor Speedway not to do is add lights. Please, no lights.
All right.
Don't add the lights. You don't need lights. Okay. You don't need it.
All right, before we leave, what do you know? Let's spend about a minute or two on Casey Kane. Is this going to do anything for his situation next year? You leaving, Junior? You want to say something about Casey Kane before you go?
I don't want to listen to anything about Casey Kane.
Okay, he's bitter.
Just like the ratings when the Casey Kane talk comes on.
Yeah, you're leaving? He's a Chase Elliott fan. He's very bitter right now.
Whoa, that
He's
was
got
close.
A lightning strike out there.
I'm glad I'm not sitting.
I'm glad I'm not wearing
window.
Headphones or anything. All right, Casey Kane, does this, as I call it, circumstantial victory, does it do anything for his situation entering the rest of this year and in the next year?
I think what happens is, you know, he was in the crosshairs, obviously.
Sure.
His car owner, Rick Hendrick, was asked point blank, what's going on with Casey Kane before the race?
Yeah.
And he said, well, we'll talk about that later, you know.
Define later, right?
And so now I think that, you know, if he can step it up, if, you know, this is like winning the Brickyard 400s, like the magic bean. Okay, now he plants it, he grows the beanstalk, and if he can get that pot of gold at the end of the season, I think you can't let him go. I mean...
Well, here, I agree with you under normal circumstances and a normal activity, but when it comes to something like this, I think the 2018 plans are pretty much already sealed, and they just are looking for how they're going to lay them out and announce them. I think, you know, Alex Bowman's in the 88, and I think they already know what's going to happen with the number 5. I think they know what will or won't happen with the number 77, if there will be a number 77 next year. Now, I think it's all... I think when they put Bowman in the 88, all the other tumbling dice fell into place. They're looking for the best way to announce it, I think, at this point.
Well, and my theory about Bowman is that Junior pressed that issue. He really liked Bowman, you know, to be in the car. And obviously, I think maybe you even pointed out that if you've got a young guy in going in and getting his big break in at Hendrick Motorsports, you don't have to pay him nearly as much as a Brad Keselowski yeah. type person. So,
yeah, what I want to know, and this will lead us out of what do you know, and will lead us into next segment, is did Amy Earnhardt sign off on the Alex Bowman thing?
she probably had some influence on that.
Okay, just
yeah. Yeah, she all seems right. to be the man behind the curtain these days.
We're gonna get into that in our next segment. But before we leave, what do you know? Before we came into the pod today, we record this on a Monday. We get word that Junior has not to no one's Junior. Surprise is going to the TV side next year. The only question was which way, Fox or NBC, and it's going to be NBC. Now, what's yet to be determined is what will be his role. Will he be on that little pre-race studio thing, or is he going to go in the booth?
Well, the thing about it is I glanced at the information that NBC sent out, and it said that he's going to be more involved than your typical broadcaster because he's got a podcast.
Yeah.
It's almost as good as ours.
Almost. One of the two or three best. Yeah.
Dirty Mo Radio.
Yeah. Way to plug the competition. But
Dale Jr. Download. That's okay. Yeah. You know, he's scratch his back. Well, he'll scratch our back. Kind of.
Yeah. 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 That's going to happen.
He's also got a production company called Hammerhead. And
cool.
So this deal, which they're going to talk more about later in today, it's not only Junior. You know, Junior's joining the NBC family, but he's taking these other properties to NBC.
He's got a lot of plans.
He's going to be a busy guy.
He and Amy are doing that renovation show down in Key West for the do-it-yourself.
Well, that's like small potatoes now because they in the release they're saying they're going to use them for racing. They're going to use them in their movie.
I want to see him on Sunday Night Football on the sidelines during a Redskins game.
That
NBC
could happen.
Sunday Night Football.
That could definitely happen.
That would be great.
Yeah,
Junior Cam, go down to him. He's suffering with every play. You know? That would be hilarious. I'd like to see him on the sideline trying to signal in plays to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. But they could use him in a variety of ways. I'm curious. You're the other guys there at NBC, Dale Jarrett, Kyle Petty, Jeff Burton. The one guy that was mentioned in that release was Steve Letarte, who's his former crew chief, who's up in the booth with Kyle Petty and Rick Allen for NBC races. If I'm Jeff Burton, I'm going, hey, why didn't they mention me? You know, what's going to become of Jeff Burton, you know?
Yeah,
whole lot of opportunities back home in South Boston.
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I do too. But I do think they will put boy, I don't know what's best, Junior in the booth or Junior downstairs in their little pre-race deal.
See, Junior in the booth, the thing about Junior is that he's painfully honest.
Yeah.
And that's him, you know, he has to be true to himself. He won't, if somebody takes somebody out, he'll know it. He'll call him out on it.
Yeah.
You know, he won't kind of like skirt around the edges. Well, you know, could have been a blown tie. He'll say, oh, he just took that guy out.
Now, in terms of the overall, the ratings points and the overall deal, as far as what this may or may not mean for NASCAR as an industry, having him in the booth and, you know, listening to him talk or on the network in some capacity. I actually think it's a bigger, better deal for Junior than it is for NASCAR because of these other avenues he can go down with NBC.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what I think?
Yes.
I think we need to get out of here. I think we need to go to the next room and get into that next segment.
We're going to do that. We're done with What Do You Know? Because that's all we know. And we'll move on to segment number two right after this. Oh, wasn't that a wonderful interlude? What'd you do during the break?
Ooh,
man, that lightning's cracking.
We got some.
You know,
bad
we're basically lightning. Risking our lives here for the pod audience. Well, the audience.
I'm glad I'm not sitting by the window because they say lightning can come through a window.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. I've lived a nice, long, full life.
So this is our 11th and possibly last podcast.
That's right. And so we're moving right on to you'll get that big time auto racing. Which, man, it's all over us right now.
Yeah.
Amy Earnhardt, she said, since we met here last, she said that she had recommended that Junior not race to Clash next year in February at Daytona.
Well,
and, you know, she kind of seconded his, you know, she Well, she went public with the fact that she urged him no. Her vote was no.
Yeah.
Now, there was a backlash to that. You know, everybody's, you know, wondering if she's got a little Yoko Ono in her. You know, she's breaking up the team, and, you know, everybody wants to see him. But I don't want to see him in the Clash. I mean, I think it would be crazy to run the Clash. And your thoughts on this all together, Mr. Goblin Kelly, know-it-all?
Well, I think, you know, in retrospect, when Junior said, well,
that's how you think best, by the way.
Yeah. In retrospect, Junior probably shouldn't have mentioned her name when he, you know, when he became eligible. He said, I'm going to have to talk to the boss.
Yeah.
Get her approval to do this.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, that put her in a kind of a bad situation.
But you know what? Men have been saying that since the dawn of time. Husbands have said that as long as there have been wives. So it's just something a guy says.
Yeah.
But it was odd that she kind of went public with it like she did. And but here's my only issue is, and this is in the I guess it's in this week's NASCAR This Week. Maybe I read about it last week when all this went down. If he doesn't want to race in the Clash next February, and with good reason, it's simple odds. He could wreck and hurt himself anywhere in a golf cart. But the odds are you got a much better chance of wrecking in a restrictor plate race. So just playing the odds, if you don't have to race in that race, don't race in that race. Now, when they go to Talladega in October and he's not in the playoffs and what he does there does not matter in the grand scheme of things, why wouldn't he look for a reason to get out of that race? Because in my mind, that's as dangerous or more so than a Daytona race. I mean, it's at least as dangerous. Why would he do it other than contractual obligations? I think I just answered my question.
There you go. Moving on. Yeah. But still, I feel bad for Amy Earnhardt.
No, you're a sucker.
Because, you know, if it was you or me, yeah, we could get by with that excuse.
Yeah.
But if you're Dale Earnhardt Jr. and you say, well, it's up to my wife, then that puts her in the hot seat. And that's why she had to make the public thing saying, you know, I don't think we want to do this.
Well, if you know, part of me would want to say, well, no, go ahead. Enter the race. Take up skydiving, too, while you're at it. Bobsled team could use a new guy. Smart guy. You going to throw me under the bus? I'm putting it right back on you. Why not?
This reminds me.
Mountain climbing. I heard good things about that.
This reminds me of, you know, the worst injury Bill Elliott ever had.
Was it skiing?
The second worst injury he ever had.
Okay, no, I do not.
He was walking through his garage.
Yeah.
He tripped over a hose on the floor.
Yeah.
And broke his kneecap, and he was out of racing for like 6 weeks.
I do remember
yeah,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously not being in the Clash, which is a, you know, pure money, showbiz kind of race. It's not for points or anything. I don't think this is going to hurt him at all.
Speaking of Junior, speaking of Talladega, I just saw on a promotional website, October, they got a 2-for-$88 ticket package for Junior's last race at Talladega. 2-for-$88.
Yeah, let's go.
See? So he's got a race, right?
Yeah.
He's got to.
We can afford that.
Tell you what, I think I'd jam that thing from fourth to second gear somewhere on the back stretch of the first lap and say, oh, she blew it up.
That's
Don't know what happened. I smelled a little something, and the next thing I knew, everything was rattling all to hell under the hood. So, well, I hate it for the boys.
Well, maybe.
We'll go on to Martinsville.
Maybe everybody will get together and help him out on that race.
Well, it would be neat, but if he's going to win one, it'd be nice if he wins one before the cutoff and he can be in that playoff chase, whatever they're calling it these days. You know,
the chase offs.
All right, we're done with you. We'll get that in big time auto racing, I believe, right? I've had about as much as I can do. We're going to come back. We got the green white checkers coming up, right?
Green white checkers coming up.
So green, we'll be right back. Enjoy this brief interlude. Oh, man. Whew. That was fast. Funny what you can get done in a brief interlude.
Yeah, we're still dodging lightning bolts.
Green light checkers. We're going to talk a little birthday action. We're going to talk a little Kyle Busch, Joe Gibbs. Did you see this? We're in retrospect, you mentioned retrospect earlier, your favorite spect.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch said he wanted to run the Indy 500 this year, but Joe Gibbs, his boss, it wasn't Samantha Bush,
right?
But it was Joe Gibbs who said, no, he put the kibosh on the kibush on that.
The kibush
on Kyle Busch running the Indy 500. Why would a guy that just tells you it's a hell of a lot safer than it was back in the day, auto racing. But these guys are still a breed apart, because I just can't imagine when you're sitting in the womb of a modern NASCAR stock car race car. And with all the advances in safety, and you're just tucked in there, you know, just so nice, cradled in there by the Randy LaJoy's seating and the new monocoque stuff, this, that, and the other, whatever. Why you would want to get into an Indy car, which is still basically a tub without a roof? Why anybody and do, by the way, do 220 or so miles an hour in traffic?
Well,
by the way,
well, if you remember. Older brother Kurt has done it.
Yes.
So I think it has.
Which right there tells me it's probably not the smartest thing to do.
But he had a top 10 finish up there. You know how it is with sibling rivalries.
And ribbling rivalries.
If your brother does it, you want to do it. You want to do better.
I usually learn from my brother's mistakes. Kurt Busch got out of that one. You know, he got out of there in one piece. You know, all it takes is one. And those things don't have the protection on them that now they've come light years in safety, the Indy cars, but it's still an Indy car. And you tell me which one you want to get in and do 200 plus miles an hour in traffic.
Well, I can get into an Indy car. I don't think I can get into a stock car. So,
how about the Bluebird? Yeah. That thing's a monster. Put a roll bar on that and a windshield and let me get in that, because that thing, God, Lord, anything you hit's going to move out of the way, I think, if you got that thing, big as it is. It's like a Freightliner.
Well, I've got, I'm going off script here.
Okay.
Because one thing that we haven't mentioned yet is... We're going back to Pocono.
Pocono.
Doesn't it seem like we were just at Pocono?
Pocono. They're 8 weeks apart, I believe, on the schedule.
Yeah.
Because they got a very narrow weather window up there in the Poconos.
Yep. And so I'm working on, the NASCAR This Week page, which comes out Tuesdays in the News Journal.
And elsewhere throughout this great land.
Yes. So I'm working on this thing. I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't look right. I've got this right from NBC. NBC... I've got a direct comm. I can pick up the phone.
Yep.
Get the direct comm to NBC. They send me their latest listing the week ahead of time.
Gotcha.
All right. And I did one of those. I looked at the schedule for this weekend at Pocono, and I was like, what? I actually did a double take. That's my version of a double take. Yeah. When I go. The qualifying and the racer are the same day.
Don't get that very often.
Yeah.
No.
You don't get that very often in big time auto racing.
No, you'll only when weather's involved.
So
they're doing that a few times now, right? The rest of the year, they're trying that out a couple places?
I believe so, but
Pocono is they're experimenting.
They're experimenting with it at Pocono.
What time's the automobile race? 3?
The automobile race will start at 3:15.
No lights at Pocono, right?
No lights at Pocono, but, you know, it's still summer. You can get to...
What could go wrong?
You can go to 9 o'clock like they did at Indy. But the qualifying is at 11:30 a.m.
Neat.
So they're qualify.
So it'll be done before lunch, basically?
Everybody will take a lunch break.
Yep.
And then they do driver intros, and then they go racing. So actually, it could be an interesting day of racing at Pocono.
They also used to say that God didn't make little green apples and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime.
Well, you know what's funny? Is they're going from a track that's shaped like a rectangle to a track that's shaped like a triangle.
Hmm. Isosceles?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because none of the sides are even.
I still want a figure eight race. Get well, if you watch, start a figure eight series. I used to always say Jimmy Spencer would be Richard Petty if they had a figure eight series somewhere.
Well, you can go see that at Cars 3.
He ain't lifting. Do they have a figure eight race in Cars 3?
Oh, by the way,
what
in that song? He's my brother.
What?
From the 60s.
Okay. He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Yeah. They use Encumbered in that song.
Really?
Yeah. And I've never heard. I never realized it until I listened to it recently.
I got to go listen to that.
Yeah.
So, Encumbered. That's a great word.
It's the only other time I've ever heard it.
We're talking about Joey Logano's win that they took away from him in terms of playoff eligibility earlier this year.
Right.
They referred to it as an encumbered win.
He won at Richmond. The car wasn't right.
Well, I put a little twist on that in the NASCAR This Week page. I referred to it as Joey's encumbrance, which is a fun word to say, encumbrance.
Is that a real word?
Encumbrance, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I got to Google
his
that.
Encumbrance will keep him from the playoffs, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, what else you got in the hopper there, Mr. Willis?
Let's get some birthdays out of the way. We like to do this, but we always forget. When the day this podcast drops, as they say in
drops.
A lot of times, it'll be Ernie Elliott's birthday. Bill's big brother, Ernie. You built him in. Well, I just, Ernie builds them, and I just drive them. it's also, I don't believe this man is still alive. I don't think. Shouldn't say that because I don't know. What if he is? It's horrible. Dick Passwater, former NASCAR driver.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't
about
think
that.
He's around?
I don't know.
Later in the week, as I said it once, I'll say it 1,000 times, the driver who leads the Cup Series in syllables, Matt DiBenedetto. It's his birthday.
Pronounce his name.
And you remember Ryan Villopoto?
Yeah.
The Supercross guy?
Let's not go there.
Want you to try to say that. You'll pull
him up. That's a tough one for me.
So that's out of the way. It would have been Neil Bonnet's birthday later in the week, too, and miss him every time I hear a former driver in the broadcast booth. I always think of Neil Bonnet. He was the best.
Well, I got my favorite Neil Bonnet story on a personal level was they came here. He was driving for the Wood Brothers.
Yep.
He came here for Speed Weeks back in the 80s, early 80s. They do that first day inspection thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing the garage tour, and he's sitting in a lawn chair as the Wood Brothers are cutting off the back part of their car.
Yeah.
And I said, Neil, you know, what's going on? He goes, well, we spent all winter making her fast, and now we got 2 hours to make her right. And that's pure Neil Bonnet right there.
Yeah.
So we missed that.
Yeah, we do. All right. Well, on that happy note, we're
going to
go dodge the lightning bolts, and we're going to get out of here. This has been another Daytona Motor Mouse podcast. I'm Ken Willis, and that's
At Godwin Kelly on Twitter. And if you want to bug Ken Willis, it's at Hey Willie NJ. And please bother him. He loves to be
And when you
challenged.
Can find us at the News Journal, just Google us. We can be Googled night and day. Beats self-Googling, I can tell you that. All right, till next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Daytona Motor Mouths. To reach the program, please visit DaytonaMotorMouths.com or follow on Twitter at NASCAR Daytona or Facebook at NASCAR Daytona. And thanks for joining us. Daytona Motor Mouths is a production of the Daytona Beach News Journal.